Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians for our New Testament reading. Galatians chapter 3, we'll be reading the whole chapter. This is the holy and inspired Word of God. Please pay careful and special attention to it. Young and old alike, hear the Word of the Lord. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So when they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I hope that you might have picked up, those of you who are here this morning, what Paul is doing here in the book of Galatians, especially here in this chapter of Galatians chapter 3. And if you were listening well this morning, you were here to hear it in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 to 17. We went over the church's responsibility to prevent apostasy and to prevent legalism. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing here in the book of Galatians. He starts off this passage with, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" This is Paul's point. Who has fooled you? Who has deceived you into thinking that God does save by any other means than Jesus Christ? The Judaizers had crept into the church at Galatia, to the churches in that area of Galatia, and were now teaching another gospel and leading people astray from Jesus Christ to be apostates, to return back to Judaism. Which, as Paul says, that law was never meant to save, but to be a schoolmaster, to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. To not be trusting in the keeping of the law. For no one can keep the law. And if someone says, "I'm going to base my salvation on the keeping of the law," then they must keep that law perfectly, wholly, completely. For to break one of those laws is to break them all. And so Paul is doing exactly what we talked about this morning. He is looking diligently for these people who have had the Lord Jesus Christ put clearly before their eyes, crucified. They knew Him. They understood what God had done. But now people were creeping in and teaching otherwise and leading them to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and to depend on the law. And Paul tells us here that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." And so Paul is laying out before them the purpose of the law, which is to point you to Christ and what Christ accomplished on the cross. And he is pleading with the Galatians because he loves them, because he cares for them, and because he is diligently looking out for them to make sure that they do not turn back and become apostate and believe a false gospel. You notice in verse 4 then he says, "Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain." Though there were false teachers, and though there were some who were coming into the church and causing people to not believe in Christ, to give up their profession of faith, Paul is still there ministering and is saying, "If it be yet in vain." It was not yet in vain for Paul to clarify and to proclaim the gospel to these churches in Galatia. And so it is also not in vain if you know somebody who is being led astray by false doctrine. If you know somebody who's being led to believe salvation comes in any other way or under any other name, it is also not in vain to bring the gospel to them. Because that's what Paul is doing here. He is just preaching the gospel, going as far back as Abraham and saying, "Look, this is where God made a covenant with you Jewish people who are now believing these falsehoods. And look, the gospel was preached even as far back as Abraham. Christ was foretold that he would be the seed of Abraham. And Christ has come. And Christ has become a curse for us." It's not in vain. Just yesterday when we were doing some outreach in a neighborhood that we have adopted near our church building called the Rosetta neighborhood, we walked up to a guy who was in his garage working on his motorcycle listening to music and asked him if we could talk to him for a minute. And he welcomed us right into the garage and we talked. And He talked about his testimony and how one day in a Protestant church of some type, a missionary alliance, I think he said, that he came to know Christ as his Savior. And my wife and I, we were rejoicing to hear that testimony, glad to hear it. But then he said because of an illness, he lost his job, and because he lost the job, he stopped going to church and he began to lose his faith. I'm still waiting for the end of this testimony to hear that it had turned around. As the testimony went on, I began to realize he was about to tell me that he was a Mormon. Once professed faith in Christ, and now was a Mormon because he married a Mormon woman in that time period when he was not walking with the Lord. I don't know if you know what Mormon theology is, but part of their theology is that they need to get baptized. And if they're baptized in the temple in Utah, they will be assured a heavenly future life. And so he testified that that's what happened to him. And now he knew that he would go to heaven. And I said to him, "Do you know who Jesus is?" "Oh, sure, I know who Jesus is," he said. And I said, "Because Jesus said to his own people, 'Who do men say that I am?'" And their answer was, "Well, they say many people. Elijah, John the Baptist, raised from the dead, one of the prophets." And then Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And that is one of the clarifying differences in any cult compared to Christianity, is who Jesus is, the Savior, the Son of God. In Mormonism, it is Jesus is the Son of God, but the Son of one in millions of gods. This guy didn't know that. They had not taught him that yet. But I want to tell you, it was not in vain to bring this man to the reality of who Jesus Christ is. And that's what the Apostle Paul was doing here in Galatians. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And you cannot live keeping the law, hoping that the law will save you. Because the law does not save. It cannot save. It was not designed to save. But Jesus Christ does save and will save. And as Galatians 3, Paul talks about here, that it is by faith that we access that salvation in Jesus Christ. And so it was not in vain to confront this man who had already, in his mind and in his heart, converted to Mormonism. To say to him, "Who do you think Jesus is?" And confront him with the reality of who Jesus is. The Son of God. The one and only Savior of the one and only living and true God. So just as Paul is doing here, and just as the Scriptures calls us to in Hebrews chapter 12, to look diligently for those who once professed faith in Christ and now are turning away, to look diligently within the church to call them back. And how does Paul do it? This is a perfect example of what we talked about this morning. Give them the gospel. The only gospel. With its foundation of being Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So it's a perfect scripture that points us back to what went on this morning in Hebrews chapter 12 as we read verses 15 to 17. People are deceived. People are deceived. And they need to be turned back to Jesus Christ. It's not in vain for you to preach the gospel to those who are slipping away. May the Lord help us to do it. Please join me now as we take our prayers to the Lord. This same God who saves us hears us. This same God who is our God hears our prayers and responds to them and answers our prayers. So join me as I lift our burdens up to the Lord. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do come, Lord, worshiping You tonight, knowing that it is only because of the Lord Jesus Christ, is only because you made him that seed that will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth, to all the families of the earth. We are here tonight, Lord, because someone has preached to us Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are here tonight, Lord, because of the gift of faith that You have given to us to believe, for without that gift of faith, we would not have believed on our own. We are here tonight, Lord, because You have caused those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be born again by Your Holy Spirit. And we come, Lord, to worship You, to adore You, and to lift up Your name and to exalt it. Lord, You are our God and we are Your people. We thank You for sealing that relationship by giving to us the Holy Spirit to be that evidence that You are with us. Father, as we have read the Scripture and read and heard the gospel being preached in Galatians chapter 3, a correction of a false gospel, we do pray, Lord, for the church of Jesus Christ, that she would not tolerate false doctrine, that she would not tolerate apostates stirring up trouble and defiling many in the church. Lord, we pray that You would help us to look diligently upon each other, to care for each other, and to love Your church. So that she would not be harmed. So she would not be defiled and troubled. Father, we do have people in our congregations who are weak in the faith, who are troubled by situations in their life. And they are sometimes very serious situations. And no doubt there are some people right now in this congregation who are going through some very difficult trials. So, Lord, we ask that You would lift them up, that You would strengthen them, that through this trial they would know Your presence, and they would know, Lord, that this trial is not a waste of their time, that You will use it to bring glory to Yourself and to bless them in the midst of this suffering. Help them, Lord, to see this, that You are with them and that You are for them. Father, we do confess also that we have broken Your law in many ways, sometimes knowingly and sometimes out of ignorance. But we, Lord, give testimony and evidence by our daily living. We could not keep the law. It is a farce for someone to say that they are keeping Your law, for we break it every day. How we do give You thanks, Lord, that Jesus Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law. And that curse being that the soul that sins, it shall die. But the soul that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, it shall live. It shall live by Your gift of eternal life. So, Lord, while we come confessing our sin, we also come rejoicing, knowing that in Christ Jesus, for those who are united to Him by His death and in His resurrection, that we too are washed clean from our sin by His shed blood. How we give You thanks, Lord, for that mighty and marvelous work. We do pray, Lord, that You would continue to use Your Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin, and to lead us to repentance, to confession, and to joy, that You do not punish us as You will sinners. Lord, we do know that You chasten us, as that's what we'll be looking at tonight in the book of Jonah. You do chasten us, Lord, and how we plead that You would chasten us when we are living in sin and not willing to repent. That You would chasten us by Your loving hand, revealing, Lord, that we do belong to You as Your children, just as any father would chasten the children he loves. We don't seek, Lord, to put ourselves in that position to need to be chastened. But if we do, how we plead that You would and reveal Your love to us in that way. Lord, I do give You thanks tonight for the session of this church, for the pastor and the elder, and pray that You would bless their shepherding work, that you would give them wisdom, that you would strengthen them in the midst of any conflict, of any crisis, that you would show them from your word how they are to care for and love and shepherd your people in Jesus' name. And I do also pray for the deacons who serve to meet the mercy needs of this congregation. We do pray, Father, that you would instruct them and lead them, guide them to be helpful and ministering mercy to those who are in need. Use them well, Lord, and we thank you for their service to you and pray that you would bless them. I do pray, Lord, for all the members of this church, each and every one, Lord. We pray that you would work in their lives sanctification by your Holy Spirit, and that they would be working out their own sanctification, confessing, repenting, and rejoicing, and living holy lives, without which no one will see you. We do pray, Lord, for each of us, that you would create a strong desire in us to see you. That would be our hope and that would be our desire. That the things of this world, the trinkets and the shiny things and even the blessings in this earthly life, we would see will not compare to the day when we will see our Lord and our God. Help us, Lord, to keep that at the forefront of our minds, even as we serve you here on this earth. Father, I do pray that you would meet all the financial needs of this body here in Grandview. I do thank you, Lord, for the building that you have provided for them now, that you would continue to sustain them, continue to sustain those who are providing for families, that their financial needs would be met as well. And Father, we think, as we give thanks for elders and deacons and members here, how there are other churches in our presbytery who are in need of pastors and elders. We think of San Antonio and Houston and Washington and Colorado Springs, all needing pastors. There are other churches, Lord, that are needing elders. Lord, you are the one who gives shepherds to your church as a gift. And we also know, Lord, that you in your providence know who and when to give that person to these churches. We rejoice that you have provided for this church here. And we pray, Lord, that you would do so for these other churches as they wait upon you and trust you to do so as well. And Father, as we have synod and presbytery meetings coming up this week in Indiana, much wisdom is needed, Lord. Much wisdom is needed. And not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God, which is Christ Jesus. And so I pray, Lord, for the synod and presbytery that each and every man would not have in his own mind the things he wants to see done, but each and every man would be submitting to your word, to seeking to know how your word teaches us, how we are to care for the church and shepherd the church, and how we are to treat one another. Lord, we have some very difficult things to consider. And pray, Lord, that you would, by your loving hand, instruct us as elders to follow your word and your word alone, and not our own thoughts, not our own ways. Lord, I do also want to go out even further and lift up the Reformation Translation Fellowship work, a new work that is starting in Nepal, where there is now some Reformed believers there, and seeking, Lord, to bring them instruction from these good Reformed writings and books. There is now a need for translators and a printer. And so, Lord, we ask that you would, by your providence, provide and meet this need for this great work that is going on. That these people can have what we take so for granted, Reformed literature, instruction from your word that is at our fingertips in a moment's notice. How blessed we are, Lord, to have these teachers to teach us your word. We pray that you would bless the people of Nepal with that same thing. Raise up people to translate these works. Raise up a printer. Provide the machine that is necessary. Raise up donors who will give to Reformation Translation Fellowship, that this work may carry on and be successful in Nepal. Lord, how we do pray for our nation. We do pray, Lord, for the leaders of our nation, that those who are governing, who are appointed to govern from the highest office to the lowest, Lord, they are your servants. The king's heart is in your hand. And we know, Lord, that you direct it just as you do the rivers. And so we pray, Father, that you would call these people to repentance who are not governing according to your word, that they would humble themselves before you, seek to know your truth, and govern as your servants, as you have appointed them to be. We also do pray, Lord, for the people of America, that they would seek this kind of leadership, that they would seek to be known as the followers of the one true living God. Lord, we need revival in our nation. We need repentance, and we know, Lord, that it can only come from your Spirit moving upon this land. And so, Lord, we ask for it. And we wait for it, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless this land with your grace through Jesus Christ, and that people would turn to him and away from their sin. And now, Lord, as we come to the preaching of your word, we do ask that you would speak to us through the preacher and through the reading of your word, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might hear, believe, and obey your word, that we would not be hypocrites, that we would not be pretenders, but humble servants to you, here to listen, to obey, and rejoice that you are our God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.